Anderson, and I'm the Executive Director of Special Programs. And I am the, hello there. I am the district staff member that ensures that our SHAC follows the legislation and the, basically the letter of the law. We're going to do introductions and meeting expectations. So some of you have heard about time, talents, and treasures. So we're going to be very respectful of your time at these meetings. And we are going to use our talents to do really great things for the district. And our treasures are who?
Students.
We're going to go over the components of SHAC and the desired work for the 21-22 school year. Y'all, usually this is legislative driven. Whatever comes out of the legislation is what we are going to focus on out of this committee. We're going to go over the legislative updates, our 18-plus program. We're going to have a COVID screening update. We're going to touch on the recess policy and practices. It comes up every year for the first meeting. Every year, first meeting. Now, this year probably wouldn't have, but I'm going to be proactive, and I've got the our board policy. We've got the health and wellness fair report, House Bill 1525. We're going to have open discussion and then adjournment. So the first thing we're going to do is introductions. I would like to introduce Ralph Wilkins, and Ralph is our co-chair, and he is our coordinator director.
Coordinator of school
nutrition. Ralph does a fabulous job of sending out our notices and stuff for SHAC. Ms. Hall, would you stand?
I will.
This is Karen Hall. It is a requirement that a parent, non-district employee, is also a co-chair. So when she resigned last year, I was like, oh, I've got a co-chair. So we are so grateful that she said yes, because she had a choice. Kind of. Jennifer Upshaw is my director in special education, special programs. And we're just going to go around and around the tables and introduce. And just your name and your parent, counselor, nurse.
Bonnie Anderson, I'm a nurse over at DeWalt.
Michael Perales, I'm a teacher at Lomax Elementary.
I'm Christy Haynes, I'm the nurse at LaPorte Elementary.
Matt Novosad, sergeant for LaPorte PD and supervisor of all the SROs in the district.
Diana Garofa, counselor at LaPorte Elementary.
Michelle Palmeris, I'm a parent.
Rosie Zapola, third grade teacher at Jane Reed.
Nicole Kutcherger, parent.
Leslie Bellrose, a parent to two special needs children.
Stacey Britton, I'm a mental health counselor and trainer for the district.
Tessa Hardley, I'm the district mental health counselor.
Janet Zebrowski, I'm the crisis counselor for the district.
Cindy Martin, counselor at Bayshore Elementary.
Amanda West, nurse at Bayshore Elementary.
I'm Robin Galliano, I'm the lead counselor at the high school.
I'm Julie Walton, I'm Cindy's secretary at Special Programs.
I'm Joe Johnson. I'm the coordinator of the IYG, It's Your Game, Keep It Real program.
Kathy Craig, I'm the parent to a Bulldog Bridger. Say your name.
Oh, I'm Tom Olson. Why?
I'm Hillary McClellan. I'm the counselor at Gary.
I'm Heidi Schneider. I'm a parent and I work part-time.
Wonderful. Welcome, everyone. Okay.
Wait.
What?
Table.
Oh, good.
They're probably mad at me now that I said
that. Oh, no, that was good.
I'm Carrie Wright, the nursing coordinator for the district.
I'm Christy Cox, one of the high school nurses.
Misty Frock, I am the nurse at College Park.
I'm Sarah Nett. I'm a student rep from LaPorte High School.
Thank you.
Are important student reps. So my thoughts on asking our nurses and counselors to come is because of this right here, human sexuality, bullying and such. Now, the nurses and counselors can swap positions with someone on their campus that is guaranteed to come. We are still wanting nurses and counselors to be present here. But if there's someone that is more suited on your campus to attend, then of course we want you here. But we need all voices from all campuses to be in this meeting. School Health Advisory Council, I think I had it on the, there you go. So that is what you're part of. Okay, SHAC is a collaborative approach. It's whole school, whole community, whole child. Safe, engaged, supportive, challenged, and healthy. If you look at this little sheet, all of this is on here. Coordinate policy, processes, and practices. Improving learning and improving health. 10 potential impacts. And the potential impacts are in the blue on the wheel. And all supported by the community. This committee got our Stop the Bleed grant. This committee got the nurse vouchers passed that we provide for our families who cannot afford to get their child to the doctor. This committee is very powerful. Our committees are the most powerful. This committee is pretty darn powerful. So we need to utilize that voice in making things happen here in the board. Did you introduce yourself?
My name is Eliana Guerrero. I work for Lakota. I'm at the elementary at LaPorte.
Welcome.
I have one. Rose Guzman from College Park Elementary.
Thank you, Rose. You stuck in too.
I was going to get her, don't worry.
Name? It's a joke. We've been. Abby, you want to introduce yourself?
Abby Turner. I'm the nurse at Ann Heritage Elementary.
Thank you. Okay, legislative updates. So we have Senate Bill 15, and this is, clearly there were 50 million legislative updates, right? I just pulled some that I thought were pertain to this this environment. This is the remote learning bill that is going through. It requires synchronous, asynchronous instruction for K-12. The cap in any school district is 10% of all enrolled schools, 10% of all enrolled students, and the district must have a C or better overall average. The students that are qualified to participate must have been in attendance during remote last year and must have made a C or higher on all core subjects. So the window is much smaller for this remote instruction. This has not gone to our board yet. It is just something that has come up. TEA was not going to fund remote learning. Our kids, you all, bottom line, did not do well in remote learning. They did not do well in their subjects. They did not do well with attendance. We have seen a tremendous decrease in students wanting to come to school. I was a homebound teacher for 12 years, and I will tell you that it is so hard on students once they get, how many of you got really comfortable being at home, not having to, you know, go in? It's no different for our students. So we're looking at that. You all kind of get in on the cutting edge of what's going on in the district, so it's really cool. I will say this at the end, but I want to say it now. I want you to recruit parents, other parents, to come and attend. We want more parents and students than anyone else in this meeting because you're the community voice. So that's your assignment for the next meeting. House Bill 1525, that's the SHAC meeting. So this came into Mr. Wilkins is going to talk more about this, but this was brought to the legislation this year. It was passed, and there's a notice. We are, I guess we should have said that first. We are recording this meeting, and it will be posted. So when you're voicing, we're going to use, you know, we're going to be professional. And we don't want grandstanders, unless that's what you want over here. And there's a requirement of posting a meeting stuff, and he'll go over that. The human sexuality curriculum. So this is the fun one. We have a human sexuality program here in La Porte. Choosing the Best is at Baker, and It's Your Game is at the two junior highs. And we brought this into the district when I was at Baker as a principal. So it was years ago when the legislation first said, ma'am?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. I thought you were saying 10 years ago, and it's when it was first being introduced. We chose an abstinence-based human sexuality curriculum. And it is, it's about healthy relationships, positive relationships, what you should basically tolerate in a relationship, what you shouldn't, all of those types of things. Senate Bill 2050 is the bullying tweak, I call it. Bullying comes up in every legislation. It's because it is one of those top row buttons. And I will tell you that there has to be an emphasis in the district on bullying prevention, building healthy relationships. We do this with Choosing the Best. It's Your Game, Character Strong, Emotional Backpack, and Restorative Practices. Now, each district campus is going to have to establish a committee. And that committee is going to focus on each campus on prevention efforts and health and wellness initiatives. So we're going to be working. This committee is going to help support our campuses in ensuring that they're doing this. Increasing awareness, we have the anonymous app. Was in here. La Porte already has the anonymous app. We're going to have to conduct a survey, an annual survey, and then we're going to gather that information that's going to be our guidelines in developing a district rubric that we will do in this space, in SHAC. We have House Bill 785, Functional Behavior Assessment, Behavior Intervention Plan. I thought it was worthy of mentioning that a student, before they can be sent to DAEP, we have to look and see now if they've ever had a functional behavior assessment and a behavior intervention plan. So a student that is sent for persistent misconduct, and this happens all the time, and they, you know, the committee brings them, the campus brings them and says they've had 17 write-ups. Well, so did we do a functional behavior assessment to see if there are any patterns of behaviors and if there are any triggers to those behaviors, and have we put things in place to have replacement behaviors? So this is, in my opinion, it's a very, very positive bill that was passed because I'm a believer in the support of mental health. I believe that we should find out why kids are doing what they're doing instead of just continually punishing. There's a misconception that restorative practices, kids don't get in trouble. They don't get consequences if we're doing restorative practices. And that's actually not the truth. Often the child will get repercussions, but then we're working with the child, maybe in ISS or whatever, to, what are you doing? You know, why did you do that? And then sometimes, most of the time, the child starts sharing, right? And then you do get to the root of what's going on in here, and we can start to deal with and mend that. Senate Bill 179. This had to be on here because of all the counselors sitting in the room. This is the bill that looks at counselor work time, and they are wanting to see an 80-20 split of our counselor work time. 80% spent on counseling activities, and only 20% of a counselor's time can be spent on non-counseling duties. So that's huge. What we have done is we've had our counselors calendaring, and we're in the process now of reaching out to counselors to say, you know, we need you to get your calendar, because we as a cabinet are going to be analyzing and seeing if we need to, you know, barter some things, have some things go away off of their plate so they can do more counseling activities. Senate Bill 1267, this is a lot about training. And I think I stapled several of these bills together, but that's okay. This is what you're doing as a district to provide like suicide prevention training, bullying training, sexual abuse, CPR, defibrillator, EpiPen. So this is always a good thing that this kind of stuff is brought up. And I will tell you, as a district, at the beginning of the year, our staff, our entire staff is inundated with these types of trainings. But we need to look at it, see if we can request as a SHAC, if we think something would be beneficial for staff to get training on. I will tell you, a focus is going to be getting training for general ed teachers working with special education children. And it's kind of specific in the bill on what that can look like. I will tell you that my team goes to the campus. We do faculty meetings and such. But this is real intentional training. We have Stetson coming in on the 11th next Monday to do co-teach training for that very reason. And we document every single training that we do in this district. House Bill 3597, school safety, trained threat assessment teams on each campus. This came back up in the legislation, and I will tell you that we do train our threat assessment teams. House Bill 1118, annual cyberbullying training, and this is completed each year before students ever come back to campus. Debbie Moy, the nurse at Baker. Introduce yourselves. Introduce
Hannah. Hannah Swirley, nurse at LaPorte Junior.
Welcome. And in their defense, this is early for them because they just wrapped up their schools. Okay, Bulldog Bridge. Mr. Tyler, I'm so glad you came tonight. This is our 18-plus program. LaPorte has always done their 18-plus program. It's been over at the high school. And honestly, if you were there, they all have different IEPs, but it was hard to tell which were our 18-plus and which were our high school students. So we got our heads together, and the SPC gym has got this beautiful kitchen out in it. And so a few years ago, I was begging for that space to be mine. And I think they thought I was being a little greedy, but we had an idea, and so we got it, and the space was being utilized by the high school. Then during COVID, it was being utilized to do assessments and such. Now it is being utilized to do our COVID testing way over on the other side, and then the classrooms, the efficiency apartment, the kitchen, all of those spaces are for our 18-plus students. It's for them to gain a skill set for employment and life skills. The purpose of an 18-plus program is to employ a child. but some will age out, and we want for them to attain as many life skills as possible in our program. The goal of an 18-plus program is the last day in LaPorte ISD looks like their first day out in society. We've been involved with work sites, cooking classes, home care, work skills. They're currently planning their first meal that they're going to be selling a lunch next week. Was it chicken salad, Tyler, and sandwiches?
What kind of sandwiches are y'all making? What kind of sandwiches?
I think it's
ham and cheese.
Okay. So you have that choice of ham and cheese and chicken salad, and I know they're going to do a great job. So we're currently working with the Texas Workforce Commission and Workforce Solutions to provide vocational rehabilitation services to eligible students. So how this works is they will take our student and the Texas Workforce Commission will pay for, I think it's 8 weeks. And that's not a hard in concrete, but they will pay for them to work in this job, and they are often then the employment is extended, and you're not pigeonholed into one job. They can do different jobs. So this is all something that we're starting with, getting the partnership. We got an MOU with the Texas Workforce, so we're really excited about that. We worked with Bloom Enterprises. We had them come out to the gym. They set up a blood drawing station, a mechanical station, engineering process technician, electrical station, network technician station. That's all very hard to get out. And our kids rotated through these. And y'all, it was awesome. It was amazing because they made the connections and they could be very successful at doing these jobs. But we have to give them that experience because they're going to be up against other employers, right? Other employees buying for those jobs. So it's important that they get that work, get the experience, get on the job site, and get loved first.
Cindy, I think it's important to mention that this program is for any student that receives special education services regardless of the level of the services, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So I think a lot of people.
This is not just targeted to focus students, and our focus students are our life skills students. It's focused on communication and understanding of skills. Those skills are academic skills, social skills, and behavioral skills. And so we renamed it Focus. COVID updates. Our lead nurse is going to give us a COVID update.
And I'll be very brief. I know everyone's probably tired of hearing about COVID. So I gave y'all each, if you got it on a table, this is our student process map, which is on the website. The staff is just the same, and it kind of tells you each scenario and what action to take, if you should stay home, things like that. This is our daily screener that all the parents and staff members are supposed to do every day before they come into work, so, you know, make sure you don't have a fever, things like that. Okay, I wanted to talk, our COVID cases are getting much, much better. So, at one of our highest dates was September 9th, and we had 143 active students and staff that were positive. Today, on our dashboard, we have 29. So, it's definitely going in the right direction. Also, we do, every single day, the nurses do the students that are out on protocol. So, that's anyone that's exposed, positive, or out. Our students on our highest date, we had 524 that were out on September 3rd, and today we have 92. So much better in just, you know, a few short weeks. We are doing COVID testing at our SEC. It is a drive-through that people do not get out of the vehicle, and it's for staff and students. So we were given tests
We started it right after spring break last year. As of this year, so starting the first day of school until last week, we had tested 502 students and staff. Of those, 87 were positive, so we were running like 17.3% positivity rate at our testing site. But that is steadily getting better, too. It was over 20% at one point, and just like today, it was 7.8% just for today's testing. So it's definitely, that's getting better also. Now, the state, so we got these tests originally from the state, and now the federal government has given money to different states and they've allocated it to the districts. So our tests actually expired today from the state. So now we have to go through a different vendor to get tests, and they're not quite ready yet, basically. So we have some tests ordered today, but the vendor is still creating like the way we enter it and all of that, because we're going to move away from what we did with the state. So we won't have testing starting tomorrow, but we're hoping that'll just be for like this week. They say they're in the process of creating this, so we're kind of at their mercy whenever they get it done, but hopefully it'll be quick. That's all for me.
Thank you. Okay, recess policy and practice. Did you all? Yes. So the board, EHAB legal. It's a basic instruction program, required instruction for elementary. You can read the policy. A district shall require students in kindergarten through grade 5 to participate in moderate or vigorous daily physical activity for at least 30 minutes throughout the school year as part of the district's physical education program or through structured activity during a campus's daily recess. If a district determines for any particular grade level that requiring moderate or vigorous daily physical activity is impractical due to scheduling concerns or other factors, the district may, as an alternative, require a student in that grade level to participate in moderate or vigorous physical activity for at least 135 minutes during each school week. A district must provide an exemption for a student who is unable to participate in the required physical activity because of illness or disability. So that's what our board policy says. We also have a school health advisory section in board policy that you're welcome to go to, and I can bring that in. Recess has got a little, has got one of the goal components in it as well, but it says this so that this became board policy. Any questions so far? I know I'm going fast, but like I said, I'm going to respect your time. We're going to do groups.
What she just referred to is the if you go on the Shack webpage or even the nutrition webpage, it's called the school wellness plan. That's the this, you know, it's not dry and it's not like this. It's a thing you can read and not feel your eyes won't start crossing and stuff. It's written like normal people would read it. So it's the local school bonus plan, and you're welcome to read that if you'd like more about what our goals, what the district's goals are for the kids on recess.
Thank you, Ralph. And that was actually a beautiful segue. So I don't run these meetings typically after the first meeting. I do the introductions, and then Ms. Hall... She's gonna get learned, and Ralph will, Mr. Wilkins will run the meetings. You want to go over?
Oh, I didn't even notice it was. Sorry, I'm not even looking. Oh, okay, so she talked there about HB 1525 in the overall, but House Bill 1525 is the reason we have this goofy looking little microphone down here that better be recording. Yes. We are required to record the meetings, which that's something we didn't do before. But it's required now, and it'll be on the law set, and the law, it's not a regulation or a suggestion. Gives us 10 days. I'll do my best to have it up before the end of the week. I've never used that microphone before. I'm hoping all the sound works out in a way that I'm not
The law doesn't actually go into effect until December 1st before those requirements. But we wanted to start, and so we can iron out kinks.
Okay. I want time to mess it up before it's bad that I mess it up. So we'll see how that microphone works out. And we also have the security cameras in here. Something in here, one of these digital things is recording too. So we're doing our best to get the audio out. So there's several folks who want to be here and couldn't make it, and I promised them to be online before the end of the week. And that's something else. If you can't make a meeting and you have a concern, a question you want to address, you don't have to not, you know, I'm not there. I can't get it brought up. Email anybody here, and we'll get it brought up and discuss it, even if you're not here. And we can post, here's your answer. Just listen to this hour and a half long. But 1525 is actually, it's not the Shack bill or anything like that. It's the huge education bill that affects way more things than Shack. But all the senators whose plans didn't get into earlier bills, like, hey, can you sneak this thing into 1525? And so two of those things were, Ken Paxton's Senate Bill 347, which, this is going to sound silly at first, because Shack's a governmental body. In terms of the government, Shack is not a governmental body. We are not an official, like the school board. That's a governmental body. And those guys are regulated by the Open Meetings Act, which is a serious law that people get litigious about. Nobody wanted that for Shack, because our goal here is to have parent volunteers. And how many parents are going to volunteer when they can get sued for not doing some motion of order or some other fancy thing that a school board member in the school board and district could get sued for, or almost any other committee you think about is a government body. But luckily, 347 did not pass, and it's going to make it easier to keep recruiting people and say, hey, come be on Shack, don't get sued. We wouldn't want that. But some elements, they pulled out some of the stuff that's in open meetings, like the recording. So that's what happened. Ken Paxton, somebody said, I'm on Shack to be a governmental body. Other minds prevailed and said, well, people aren't going to join Shack if you can get sued as a parent trying to help out the district. Okay, what if we recorded the meetings? Deal. So, Senate Bill 442, would have required Shack to be open to the public. We have always been open to the public. Every now and then you hear a law, you're like, everyone does that. I don't know why that's a new law. But it does require us to post the agenda 72 hours in advance. We always did that, put it on the website, but now it's official. You can always find the agenda on the website. If you want to travel over here and look at it, it's on the bulletin board outside the building. It's in the campuses, and I email it out. Maybe not 72 hours before the meeting, but I'll generally email the agenda before the meeting so you know what we're talking about. Keep in mind that the agenda is never the only thing we're talking about. You can always come here with your own suggestions or comments and bring up anything. But sometimes, if you're looking for an answer or something, it's really nice to email what the issue would be so we can give you an answer instead of getting to the meeting saying, I have a complicated issue, and we have to say, well, we'll get back to you. Because the people who can answer that aren't here, or it's way above our pay grade, something like that. So, or we don't want to get sued. Oh, no. Lastly, so we're recording the meetings. They'll be online as soon as I can. We'll post the minutes along with the meeting, and thank you, Ms. Walton, for writing this down for us. And just to let you know, even though the school board is still dealing with this, as this is all new stuff, the main reason Shack is part of 1525 is so that parents have a say in the sexuality curriculum. That's a lot of people ask, why is this a deal now? Because there's districts where they weren't as open as we are, where Shack meetings occurred at 8 o'clock in the morning for 15 minutes, and they rubber stamp something. And all of a sudden, your kids have a new sex ed curriculum or something like that, and people are like, oh, we didn't even know, you never talked about it. So that's the reason Shack's in there. The school board is on the ball and dealing with that, but that's the reason Shack became a hot-button issue this year, because there was no other reason to really worry about this. But before ISD is taking care of that. And I think that's it. Anybody have questions about House Bill 1525? My next two? This will be short, it's just an after action. Every year, we hold the employee health fair, and since there's so many, the start of the year, like Ms. Anderson said, it's busy with trainings. Everybody's trying to stay compliant with all the rules and all the laws and trainings on the laws that just came out and everything. But the district finds time every year to cram a few hours in for us to have a health and wellness fair for the staff. We're going to be able to talk to all sorts of vendors and education folks and people from UT and hospitals. We have a blood drive. Didn't this year because something went foul with them. But normally have a blood drive and all sorts of vendors. So I just like to report so I can thank all the administrators and principals for sending their people there and taking away from valuable training time and other stuff. But this year, we had about 700 staff attend. We had 27 vendors who came. And my second request is, if anybody knows vendors, get them in touch with me. The health and wellness fair, those, all those are in quotations, health and wellness, because we had a Scentsy vendor, we sell t-shirts. It's mental health too, and good smells are good for your brain, and nice t-shirts are good for your brain and your heart and your spirit. So it's a loose interpretation. As long as it's something that will put a smile on our staff's face or enrich them in some way, it counts. So if you know anybody who runs a, you know, some boutique or something like that, they are welcome to email me, and unless something's wildly inappropriate, honestly, I wouldn't. I'm gonna get in there. So please reach out to any friends who, you know, have booths and stuff like that at what are they called? Like the safe fairs, that kind of thing. But we have 27 vendors this year, and normally we have closer to 35. But unfortunately, I had a lot of emails bounce back and phone calls that just went boop, 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 because COVID destroyed a lot of people's professions. So that was unfortunate, but luckily a few of people had their personal emails just to reach out. Hey, we're thinking of you. If you ever, you know, do go back in business, come down and see us again. But that's it. Yeah, always looking for more vendors, and I'd like to thank all the staff for coming and the administrators for making sure you get to come. We always have a good time, and the vendors, it benefits everyone, even the community. These are people who live and work in LaPorte who get to come here and sell their wares and enrich our folks. But that's it for health and wellness. Teamwork. I don't know anything about it. You're gonna. What? Oh my gosh.
It's no problem.
Yeah, it really just fell off. There you go.
Such a nice guy. Okay, so now the work. Tonight, the main thing we want to leave with is a brainstorming at your tables of desired topics for the year. What speakers you would like to see come in. We've had an opioid presentation. Fascinating. That Pacoda actually came and presented. We will be bringing our drug survey results from our high school to the shack. That's where we bring those results. Hello, Miss Sherry. We have had a mom who lost her son to a marijuana addiction. And it was, you know, marijuana's not addicting. She had a ton of facts about it. Fascinating. We had a suicide, a parent who lost their child to suicide did a presentation. So they can be deep conversations, but the people that are willing to present, the parents that are willing to present, there's no way you don't leave here touched. And there's no way you don't leave here more educated on the topics. So have someone be a scribe at your table, and anything that you would like us to try to get, I'm just going to put this out there, but I did have this idea. It was like 2 weeks ago. My husband was out of town, and I listened to a podcast, and it was Shaquille O'Neal, and they call him Shaq. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know what I'm doing. I'm reaching out to Shaquille. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So it'll be fun to see if I can pull this off. But I'm going to see if Shaq will come to our shack and get radio stations or news stations and have him, because his podcast was a lot of mental wellness and how he grew up. And I went, oh my gosh.
Shaq with Shaq.
He can bring what? Pizza. Yeah. He can bring pizza.
We can get insurance with the general.
So, on everybody's table, there is this rubric. And this is what every campus is going to be getting. This has been neat. It's in the process of being updated, but it's what I used, like I said, back at Baker, so 10 years ago, that you had to fill out on how are you doing as a campus. So look through this. Make notes on, I would like to see more of this. I would like our campuses to focus on this. And that's going to lead where we go. Our next meeting is November 1st, and we want your voice to be present in that meeting. We've already reached out to some people, but we haven't confirmed anyone. But we'd like to, will you present at one of our SHAC meetings this year? So where do you all feel that we can make a difference this year? And what questions do you have? So if someone will scribe at each table, this is going to be essentially your ticket out of here, is information to lead these conversations. I will tell you, parents, please, again, recruit other parents. We need parents to see these presentations. Clearly, this is going to help. One of the legislative things is that I was telling Ms. Martin that the board gets to select 5 members to be SHAC members. And I want there to be a full court press on that. I want either the board member or a parent that they know represented here in this room. Students, you're going to tell everyone how fabulous this was. Tyler, you're going to tell everybody they're coming to SHAC with you. He's like, oh. But we want students sitting here because students are the ones that are going to be impacted with these presentations as well. Now, littles, some of the content, you know, would have done this. So I would say junior high school is the topics have been extremely appropriate for. All right, so this is the work. All of you circle up. You don't have to face me anymore. And you're welcome to use this and write on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Who's my guy?
The one.
And then I'm so
sick.
work.
I'm going to
like a special ed.
But to share out with the rest of the group some of your highlights.
Go ahead. You have to take that.
The vaping, Facebook chat, the bullying, like on the LaPorte website. There's some parents that get on there, or even a teacher, and then they start.
I vote for that.
Yeah. And so we don't know who we get. They want to go over the timing of the meetings, perhaps 4:30 to 6-ish. Is that better for a lot of people? The wellness plan, he said best practices for social media engagement.
Facebook.
Okay.
And,
okay.
That's,
yeah. Those are good. I will tell you that we did have the meetings tweaked to be 4:30 to 6, and the attendance dropped because if people have a little bit of time,
they just go home.
And so this was right after school, and if you can get a parent that works, that is willing to attend and be on a committee, the committees can meet later. The committee can determine when they want to meet outside of the shack. So the human sexuality, we have to have a committee on that. So if you're interested in serving on that committee, reviewing the curriculum. I really like all of my parents here tonight, and all the parents are going to recruit to be on that.
Like I keep just bringing that in every response.
You parents have Facebooks. You can say, parents, if you're interested in joining CHAC, please contact your campus and give them your name. And then your campus will, put you down. And then the bullying. If you all feel that there's a need to have a committee on that, you may want a different committee. Hopefully you've come up with some ideas, committees where you would like to impact some change. All right.
Ours is pretty much what they said. But we did have on grief, talk a little bit more about grief and how kids are dealing with that, how to handle that, and just trauma in general. Of course, we got the one and only Mr. Odom that maybe address a few things as far as mediation is concerned. But vaping and social media are definitely hot topics. And Talk Cop Says Stop, Jermaine Galloway. If y'all haven't seen that guy, the website is Talk Cop Says Stop. He has great information, especially as parents.
He's an awesome dynamic speaker.
He has a lot of good information in the latest trends, so if you vape shops and stuff around the town, he'll actually go in and act like he's a customer and show how they do different things. It's awesome. Yes, ma'am.
We're doing that.
Perfect.
Some of the kids are going to do that with the coalition kids in the spring.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very good thing.
Okay. That's what we have.
Okay. Are the Coalition Kids Support
Academy?
The Academy? Yeah, well, they're going to be here our next meeting. It's November 1st.
Yeah, that's what we put. We really need some more student involvement, like the HOSA kids, student council.
We invited HOSA.
Okay. And then we also talked about the Shack having a booth at Christmas on Main Street, the Halloween. I don't think parents really know Sylvan Beach Day. We just need to expose more of what this committee is about and that we want parent involvement.
I love that.
That's a good idea.
Because I don't think they look on the website.
I don't think that has ever come up.
Yeah.
You can't navigate that.
Yes.
Website.
Get
it.
Yeah.
It's
on our table, we put down the bullying, of course. A lot of us have Baker students, and we also, you know, see it on Facebook and through cyberbullying, through texts and such. The fighting in the bathrooms and the fighting on the campuses that we're hearing about. We mentioned the crime prevention apps, what parents should look for. I remember it was done for my son when he went to Lomax Elementary. That was probably about 4 years ago. There was a lady cop or somebody, wasn't from DARE, it was somebody else. I don't remember her name. But she gave us, like, worksheets and stuff like that of, like, kids could go into an app, and then they could press a special button in the app, and they could do all this stuff in the app, and then close it out, and no parents could see it, because when they opened the app, it looked like a general message.
Wow.
And so she was really like, yes, you need to look for this app, this app, this app, and you need to do this and this and this, and she had some other programs. Since I have special ed children, this is important to me, is to teach other children to accept them. And to not go, oh, look, you're talking funny, ha ha. And another one that we talked about, which you also mentioned earlier, was suicide. Mm-hmm. We thought that was an important one.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So we said trauma, and so we're good with that. But we did say suicidality, and we really talked about what we're seeing on campuses. And so we really talked about geared for parents and to parents, and to get the word out that when we're seeing these things and we're advising parents, please seek medical help for your child, that we need them to seek medical help. And so we have some ideas, and we've got a person now.
Great. That is a resurfacing topic that keeps coming up this year. Is, you know, we have protocols, we have rubrics that we assess children, and some of them, it comes out that they should seek a psychological evaluation immediately, not tomorrow, not next week. It needs to happen now. And you know, we have parents that don't want to do it, and so it puts our mental health professionals who are highly trained, our school counselors who are highly trained on this every year, in a real conundrum, because you know, the parent is the parent, but yet we're pretty fearful with what rating scales have shown up. So I think that'd be an excellent topic to bring here, and I would love for this room to be filled with parents.
Do they not take them because it's expensive, or does the district have something for these kids?
So we do have some ongoing care, but to go get the psychological evaluation does require going, because some of the kids are kept. But they don't turn you away. If one of you told me they will not turn a parent away because they do not have funds. So
I think it's usually there's stigma. Yeah. There's
there's fear.
Cultural.
Fear.
Denial.
Denial. Yeah, they're afraid of what. Yeah, and so we appreciate that, and we are empathetic to that to an extent. you know, because our job is to keep your child healthy from our end and to give you the data that we've collected to take it on your end. So what did you all come up with?
A lot of the same things about the vaping and the bullying, social media issues. Then there was one brought up about a lot of the pornography exchanges between phone, not knowing the real ramifications of transmitting child pornography, along with sharing pornography sites and sharing these at school between, and this is more the junior high level.
Yeah.
I don't know about the high school level, but it's, they spoke that it's very common.
Making those errors as that young adolescent. Is that part of the human trafficking?
So that is.
So I thought, we could probably, would you put that on your list?
Sure.
Well, I think too, just like the mental effects that has, I don't think these kids realize that it does create pathways, it does create, you know, it is addictive, it is, it may, you know. Anyway.
Sure.
And the legal ramifications that go with it. I don't really think that people, even adults, don't understand the legal ramifications that go with transmission. That, but when you are under the age of 18 and you are sharing these pictures and you're at school, it's child pornography. You
right.
know? So I don't think it's, whether it be a TikTok challenge or whatever it is, they don't understand the mental health part of it.
Nothing good.
Well, right.
Some of it's child porn. There's a misconception. Some of it's child porn, not all of it.
Okay.
If it's just a topless girl, it's not child porn.
Interesting.
But see, that would be a good educational presentation.
But it's still not a good idea.
Right. Okay. We will have outreach for the. We're going to definitely get the human sexuality curriculum committee pulled together so that we can get some vendors set up, and we'll focus on that more in the spring. But we need to get what we need to meet in the fall and start getting those vendors set up, because it's come out. So everybody and their brother in this entire state of Texas is going to be pulling in vendors. So we want to get those set up. Any other burning thoughts? Okay.
You know those voicemails or the phone calls that go out constantly? Maybe do that with the Shaq stuff too.
Okay.
One of those automated phone calls.
Make a note of that.
Because people are not going to the website. It's not user friendly. People are not doing it.
That's what I was bringing up, because I've lived here my entire life and I went to school here from elementary to high school, and this was my first time knowing. And I have 3 kids in elementary.
So,
I've never heard
what's
of
the
it.
Best way that you would get a call out?
Oh, I get those, definitely.
But I mean, for us to notify would be a call out from
yeah,
the
yeah, we could get a call out and the flyers and stuff.
What about campus newsletters? Do y'all do parents?
Yes, I look at them.
Our church needs block note, so it's every parishioner has. We have their phone number, and we send a mass text.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me.
Like text line.
Okay.
Yeah. Line
oh, yeah.
All the student apps.
Okay. I don't want any complaints.
Yeah, you're asking for it. I feel bad sending the reminder email.
Maybe you should put it on TikTok.
Yeah. That's the latest challenge, is go to Shaq.
Yeah. They won't know what it is. Ralph and I are doing it.
Yeah, I'll do something. That's true, y'all.
Okay, y'all, I cannot thank you all enough for coming. Please leave us your notes. You must take a half dozen cookies home to your children.
And several bottles of water. And make sure you sign in.
And make sure you sign in.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.